Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. That's the show you're listening to right now. Thank you very much. We're the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. And as per usual, I am Bruce Johnson, joined by my brother Jacob Johnson.
Hello, everybody.
And today is Current Events Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We are talking about some pretty crazy stuff, which is the technical term for what we're discussing today. Pretty crazy stuff, all caps, I think is the literal, yeah, title.
PCS.
Yes. And it is a conversation I never thought, well, that's not fair. 3 years ago, I never thought, 4 years ago now, my goodness, 2020 was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I never thought we'd have this conversation in America, but here we are. And I think most people in America didn't think we would have to have this conversation 4 years ago. And then COVID happened, and lots of people, including us to a large extent, were awakened to the fact that tyranny is literally right outside our doorsteps. So, hello, tyranny. So we're going to be addressing that, and there's a heck of a lot of stuff there to delve into. And then, of course, to round out our episode, we have to have a conversation about why do rights matter? Because apparently that's something we've forgotten as a people. So, you know, we're going to talk about that from a biblical perspective.
Like we have the Bill of Rights, but...
Yeah, no. Like, apparently these things that we've revered for so long are just paper. Who would have thought? In a nation apart from God, we have no founding to hold to these things anymore. How strange. Who could have seen this coming? But before we get into all that, we have to do what we always do, and that's talk about our verse of the week. And we did it, ladies and gentlemen. We actually did it this week. It is our verse of the week. It's not a passage. I didn't think this day would come either. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." 1 Corinthians 15:58. So this is a message I think that many people, thankfully, are being awakened to and are looking for this message today. This is the quintessential passage to point to when someone is working for the kingdom of God, but are feeling hopeless about that work. When seemingly the world, as you'll see from our conversation today, is apparently just crumbling around them. And what the heck are they to do about it? How in the world are all these great promises of victory in Christ in the world today? The meek will inherit the earth. Christ is with us until the end of the age, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and has called us to disciple the nations. Well, that doesn't seem to be going so well. The Disciple the Nations project seems to be falling apart at the seams, seemingly. And then you read things like this. And it's an encouragement to all those people. It's an encouragement to men in particular, but also women to another extent, right? This can be taken multiple ways, but we see in this verse, "Therefore, my beloved brothers," right? So there is a particular audience that this verse is speaking to. You can obviously take applications for women as well, but I do want to speak particularly to men because I think that's what this is pointed to. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is not a faith that just sits on the sidelines. This is a message we've reiterated over and over and over for the last 2.5 years. Dude, we're coming up on 3 years in July. It's kind of crazy. Also, by the way, episode 300 is coming up in 10 episodes. So, and this has been our theme since the beginning. Matthew 3:15 has been be salt and light. What is salt? Salt preserves. It's the preserving facet of society that holds it together. Without God and his word in a society, it will crumble. Its end, its demise is inevitable. And we'll have that discussion today. but we're also light. We're also living differently. We stand out. We are glints of light in a dark place. And people do a double take. They turn and say, whoa, what was that? Why are they living so differently? Why do they look so happy? Why are they dressed differently? Why do they look like they want to talk to me? Why do they look like they care about my life? Right? And it's different. And that is part, that's the overarching way to summarize our work. But there's labor, there's work to be done. And in that work of building a Christian nation, discipling an entire nation from the ground up, the bottom to the top, we're supposed to be steadfast, we're supposed to be immovable, and we're supposed to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And with that, let's move on to our current events topic for today. Jake, what the heck happened this week that we need to talk about?
I'm going to start out with a quote. Benjamin Franklin once said, "He who would trade liberty for some temporary security deserves neither liberty nor security." This, I think, is a perfect quote to start out today's topic, or start out today's current events, because we are talking about a program, a foreign surveillance program called Section 702, or also known as FISA. This program, it's foreign surveillance, but a lot of times it is used within the nation to spy on Americans to make sure that they're not terrorists. So this program is specifically stated in this bill. So by the way, stated in this bill, it tracks emails, tracks phone calls, and tracks text messages. Some also very important stuff to note, and we can kind of talk about more about this later on, but what this does is it keeps that information that the FBI deems to be terrorism or deems to be evil in some sort of way. It can take that, hold it, and bring it back up anytime it wants, without a warrant, without anything, anytime it wants.
Wow.
This bill, by the way, this bill has been in effect. It's already been there. This is not something new that, oh, we're just now voting on this bill. No, we're just now hearing about this bill because it is expiring. This bill is already expiring after it's already been in place. And is why we're now hearing about this, because it was brought up to the House, to the Senate, for an extension. So they're talking about this now.
We'd like to keep spying on our own people, please. Please let us continue doing that.
The amount of people talking about this in the sense that, oh no, if we don't extend this, we're all gonna die. It's absolutely crazy. The amount of like thinking that this is gonna save our lives, and if we don't have this, we're all dead.
Yeah, when the civil government is your god, literally feeding you, protecting you, taking care of your roads, training your children, watching your kids for you, they are your god. If you suddenly defang them, oh no, my god can't protect me anymore. Panic.
I wanted to share this quote from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democratic New York senator. He said on this bill, "In the nick of time, bipartisanship has prevailed here in the Senate." In the nick of time. Because he was saying this because it was the deadline was midnight. They had revised, they had put through this extension mere minutes after the deadline.
Wow.
They had just put it through. And of course, in the nick of time, the world is saved. We get to spy on people again.
Mm-hmm.
This is the crazy part. This is the part that I wish. So a lot of people credit Mike Johnson with this being his problem, with this being his issue, and he didn't do it right. So of course, they're like, we want to oust him because he did bad on this. An amendment, and this is what everybody's talking about. An amendment was being put together to require the FBI to obtain a warrant before searching through American citizens' effects. I say effects here for a very specific reason. However, this amendment was shot down just before the bill was passed. Mike Johnson could have done something to hold this back and say, we need to wait, put something together. We have warrants for every other thing. Why not this? Of course, the whole argument, well, if they needed to get a warrant, they wouldn't be able to do this fast. They wouldn't be able to take people's information quickly. I don't want a fast government. A fast government leads itself to doing some shady stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the case. That's what the founding fathers wanted. The Electoral College and the voting system and all the things that the founding fathers put together was to slow the Senate, the House. Why does it need to go through the Senate and the House? Can't the president just do all that? No, the founding fathers wanted to slow it down, give time for people to actually be like, wait a second, for people to come to their senses and be like, wait, no, that's not a good idea. Why are we doing this? It's slow. Yep. It can't be fast. Doing it fast, now we end up making rash decisions. Decisions made on a whim and quickly aren't always bad decisions. This is something that's common. Making a quick, fast decision is not always the best decision.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to come back to this effects word. Why do I say the word effects? And this is because the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution says the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. End quote. The people's emails, people's phone calls, people's texts are their effects. These belong to them. They are their own private words. They're our own. You could even put these within papers because it's technically the writing down of information. That's
right.
That you could put this in the same definition as you put papers, but both papers and effects work for both of these things.
This is the same thing we talked about 2 years ago. I think this was in 2022 when Apple was doing its invasive, very un-American photos law, right? Where it was now going to be colluding with the federal government to share photos from people's photo libraries with the federal government if requested.
Yeah.
Right. And we were talking at the time to one of the county commissioners in South Dakota in Rapid City, and he was talking about how this is blatantly against the Fourth Amendment and against the Constitution, but it didn't matter. I think actually that did actually end up going through, which is a very similar thing.
Yeah. I mean, American citizens, as we've known from the Bill of Rights, from the Declaration of Independence, from the beginning of the Constitution, the preamble to the Constitution. All of those things talk about us having the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right? We have the right to these things. We have the right to be secure in our effects. Again, including texts, emails, and phone calls. Those are effects. Those are papers, if you will, if you want to put it within that definition. Again, I bring up this quote from Benjamin Franklin. If we have to sacrifice freedom for security, if we have to sacrifice a little bit of freedom for that security, we should not have either.
Yep.
This is what we're doing. We're throwing away our freedoms for that security.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on what we've talked about here?
I mean, yeah, this the founding fathers nailed it when they said, I think it was Adams, this form of government is wholly incapable to the governing of a body of people that are not moral or religious.
Yep.
This form of civil government, because things had progressed to the point where the word of God was so well known across a land, this form of civil government was actually a possibility and was actually something that could govern a people cohesively. But that's not true anymore. And so now we've lost what we had because we as a people no longer deserve it. This happened to Israel so many times. It took them forever to get the message and finally repent and turn back to God. And that lasted for maybe a generation, maybe two sometimes. And then it started all over again. We are so forgetful as a people. And this time around, because of where we are in terms of technology, in terms of many other factors, the world being more connected than it's ever been, the ability for us to give people power and for them to misuse it is exponentially more increased than it's been in a lot of other times. And so now you get a massive group of people, millions, billions of people, who do not have a moral standard or framework to derive anything from. All they care about is themselves, living in luxury, their own lives. And so, of course, they're looking for any external institution to protect them, right? Give them peace and security and to give them blessings, right? To give them food, to give them healthcare, to give them safe roads, to give them all of these things. We call it communism or socialism, but at the end of the day, it's idolatry. These people are going for this whole hog because that's all they've got left. There's nothing outside of themselves to hold on to anymore. And so, of course, now we have to ask, why do rights matter? Now,
why
that question has to be raised.
Yeah. Why would the founding fathers talk about these as being so important that we wouldn't sacrifice anything? Mm-hmm. That we wouldn't give them up for anything?
Yeah.
For even security of our own lives, why would we not give up these rights?
Yep. Yeah. And I put together three reasons. There are many more, but these are the three that I think are three questions we need to ask. The first is, without them, what do we become? Without our rights, what do we become as a people?
Yeah.
We're seeing this today. But we don't even have to look into the future to try and imagine where this will go. Just look back in the past. Look at the feudal system. Look at the monarchy in so many other countries. Look at so many other people who were enslaved to their civil magistrate because they didn't have these rights. Or they weren't, well, they had them, but they weren't recognized.
We don't even need to look far back into American history to find this. You look to 2020. Our rights were taken away.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to go into grocery stores. People weren't allowed to open their businesses.
Yep. I can remember this was the beginning of December 2020. And there was going to be another ban on eating at public restaurants. They were going to shut down public restaurants for the week of Christmas. So I can remember all of us, our family, sitting in the restaurant for what we knew was going to be the last time. And we didn't know when the next time we'd be able to sit and eat in a restaurant again would be. We were just sitting there thinking, oh, this is so nice. We get to actually eat in a restaurant. Thank you. Thank you, civil government. I can actually remember that day.
Yeah.
That's where we were.
So what, to answer your question, what do we become without those rights? We become slaves. We become beholden to what the civil government wants us to do that day.
Yep. Yep. They are God. They make themselves deity. That's what they aspire to. Pastor Wilson talked about that on his interview with Tucker Carlson. They aspire to deity. That's what they're doing. Psalm 2, we quote all the time. Why do the heathen nations vainly rage? Why do the peoples plot a vain thing and set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us cast their bonds from us? Right? They want to become God. Tower of Babel, same thing. They wanted to be God. The fall. We will be like the Most High. That's been the sinful, corrupt nature of man ever since the fall. That's directly what the kingship of Christ goes against. Because if we let that nature, we would be like the Most High. If that is left unbridled, we destroy ourselves. Sodom and Gomorrah. Utterly demolished. Romans 1. Example after example after example through history of a people destroying themselves. Not to be that guy, but Germany, yes, destroyed itself. A race of people who produced composers like Bach fell to the ground in a pile of rubble. And what are they today? Like, oh, okay, yeah, they still exist, but are they what they were before? Heck no, not even close. Because of their arrogance, because of we will be like the Most High. That's what we become. Next question. Where do our rights come from? Why do our rights matter? Without them, what do we become? Where do our rights come from? They're derived from Scripture. Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
If I may bring in another part of the Constitution, or sorry, no, this was from the Declaration of Independence, I do believe. Or the Bill of Rights. Wait, hold on. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I think it was the Declaration.
Yeah, that we were endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And then I mentioned the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness before. The Founding Fathers understood this, that our rights came from God. They were endowed by our Creator. We've talked about this before multiple times, like what we understand through presuppositional apologetics, that good is something that God ordains. Bad is, again, something that God ordains. Good and bad cannot be described by anything other than what God ordains. So, same thing with our rights. Where would our rights come from? If anywhere, they can't come from anywhere aside from God.
Yep. Yeah. And that's why they cannot be taken. Now, this is also why this civil government, this form of civil government, can only work for a moral and religious people. Once you lose the framework of reality, which is the fear of the Lord, once you lose the beginning of wisdom, you have a nation of millions, billions of fools. And when you have a nation chock full of fools, this happens. Your rights that are inseparable from human beings, they're inalienable. If they are not, if they are not held by a higher standard or given by a higher standard, then they can be taken away. They're just from man, then man can take it away, right? Rather than the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now it's man, the civil government takes, civil government takes away, blessed be the name of the civil government, right? If that's where our rights come from, then we're doomed. And we talked about that a lot in Mere Christendom, Pastor Wilson's book. Finally, God gives free people ways to remain free. So where do our, why do our rights matter? Without them, what do we become? Where do they come from? And why is it that they're so important? Why is it that God would care to give us rights at all? Why is that something that God would value? Why is that something that generations of theologians recognized as something that God values? Why was that something that an entire nation 250 years ago valued immensely? Enough to fight a war with one of the most powerful empires on the face of the planet. Why? Because God gives free people ways to remain free. And Jake pulled in some verses there. I don't know if you want to walk through those, Jake.
Yeah, I think these kind of talk to the point. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God," end quote. This is another point to that government is wholly inadequate to any other. We must be religious. We can't be using our freedom that is given to us by God as a cover-up for evil. This is how we use our freedom should be done in a good manner. Otherwise, God will take it away. And we see that currently on our current nation. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Not only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." End quote.
Yep. Yeah, this is a gift from God. Freedom is a gift from God. Ways to remain free are gifts from God. But we give up our rights when we give up our servitude to Christ. When we say, no, Caesar is king, not Christ. We're saying, no, I don't want my rights. I don't want these gifts. I don't want the glorious chains of God's law that hold back my wicked spirit. I don't want these any longer. That's what we're saying when we're saying, I don't want Christ to be king of this nation. That's what millions of fools, biblically called fools across the country, are saying today. Right? That's what we saw at, for instance, the Moscow town hall several weeks ago. Now, if you haven't had a chance to watch that recording, I think it went live on Canon Plus a few days ago. I have to look into that. But you should watch it because it gives you a very real visual of what these people want and don't want. What they don't want is freedom in Christ. What they do want is slavery to their sin, and they're getting it right now. And that's where this comes from. That's why these things are happening to us now. That's why over the last century and a half, we've been slowly losing more and more and more of our freedoms. That's why this is the longest running experiment of its kind, apart from Israel. But there's a reason this was not tried for about 6,000 years, right, to this extent, in a country this large. Because with, to quote Spider-Man or Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility. When you have immense freedom in Christ, when you're given the kind of freedom that Christ gives you, when you're given the laws of liberty, when you're given the glorious law of liberty, and you turn your back on that, your nation will crumble around you. And it is. And here we are. And with that, thank you all very much for listening. We hope this wasn't too depressing. That's why we started out with the verse we did. Let's get to work. Let's always be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Friday when we discuss the final chapter in Adam Terrell's book, Public Stoning, God's Design for a Nation Without Prisons. And we'll have Mr. Terrell on the show next week, so you don't want to miss that. If you're not already following us on all our social media platforms, Aaron Jensen will come to your house, knock on your door, and force you to do that. Because we are we're going to be doing something very, very exciting for episode 300. It's a really cool program that Aaron is working on right now, putting all the details together. Actually, we're getting it's a collaboration of multiple members of our team to put this together. And we think you're going to be very, very excited. But in order to be a part of this really exciting thing we're putting together, you have to be following us on our social media pages. So follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Gab, also X. And we are looking forward to hopefully announcing this probably next week or in a few weeks for episode 300. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday. Until then, remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.